If you would, you can go ahead and get your Bibles and be turning to Exodus chapter 16. This may not be for anybody but me today. I don't know. If that's just it, y'all just have to sit there and hang on and we'll... I want to talk about provision this morning is what I really want to talk about. And as parents, we all have that desire to provide adequately for our families, right? For our children, for our as husbands, for our spouses. And the thing that I really think we need to understand today is that God provides for all of us. He is our great provider. Sound like I'm a little bit of a whale here, Scotty. But as the banners and stuff say here, that He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. You know, and as we just prayed for Rosa there, He's our healer. He's everything that we need. He is our provision. And we can look through Scripture, through the history of Scripture, and we can see that God was the provision for the children of Israel forever. I mean, The other side of that is, I think a lot of parents today have went completely off the rails with provision for their children. When you got 16-year-olds driving a 2026 pickup, is a little bit excessive in my book. I mean, you can bless them, that's fine, but I don't understand it. I only buy a 26 for me, much less for my kids. I'm not going there. But anyway... but when we speak of the provision of God, we should also be careful to differentiate between our needs and our wants, right? You know, I could give you a whole list of things that I want, but there's a big difference between what I would want and what I would need. I pretty well got everything I need, I guess, but there's a few other things I would like to have, but that's all material and not, you know, nothing great about it. But read a little bit here what it said, what I found. It says, while we are often confused about the difference, God is not. He's not confused about the difference between our wants and our needs. You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but He tells us in Scripture that He'll take care of our needs, right? But we must trust God both to identify our needs and to meet them by His gracious provision. You know, sometimes in this microwave age that we live in, we want our stuff now, right? We don't want to wait on God's provision the way He sent it. We tend to act like Abraham and Sarah, right? Lord, we need to help You out. And, you know, we find an opportunity to depend on ourselves instead of upon God more often than not. But we should never expect God to give us everything we want. You know, if that's what we're expecting, you're going to have a different outcome than what you expect. But many of the things we desire just aren't, I mean, many things that we desire just ain't good for us. But let's go to, I guess I ought to get there myself, hadn't I? Exodus chapter 16. I want to read just a couple of verses here to start with, but it says, verse 1, it says, and they journeyed from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the fifth day of the second month, after they departed from the land of Egypt, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For You have brought us out into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, with hunger. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in My law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to gather in your house this morning. Lord, we pray that each and every word today, Lord, would be your words, Lord, and not mine. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts, our minds, our ears, that we might hear, that we might receive and accept what you would say today, Lord. And we just want to thank you, Lord, for your provision, Lord. We want to thank you for your glory, your honor, and your anointing today. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. And I want to read some more here in just a little bit. But as we get into this, looking at provision, you know, just a little background, I guess, for the reasons why I kind of got into this word this week is, as I was looking for something this week to study on, I opened up, and this is provision was the word that come up right off the bat. And I guess later in the week I got the real confirmation of what that provision was all about. But, you know, pastoring is, I mean, we pastor full-time, but I have to work full-time as well. God provides. He's our provision. And, you know, in 2020, I took a job in sales. How many people was in sales? So you understand the need for God's provision when it comes to sales. And, you know, we had one of our key customers call this week and really kind of almost upset apple carts and made, you know, some real questions in how things were going and what was going on. And we kind of had a perfect storm of being overwhelmed with work, which is overwhelmed with work is a good thing, but when customers want their stuff, they want it now, and they don't want matter what your problems are. But in all that, God revealed that he's still the one on the throne. He's still got all this under control. You know, we can get tore up and tore down and worried about everything else, but as long as we understand that our provision comes through him, then the rest of it can just go where it's at, right, and be what it is. But let me read a couple things here. The definition and the concept of provision is, in the biblical context, it refers to the act of God supplying the needs of who? His people, right? You know, I mean, are you his people or not? You know, as long as you're his people, then you can expect him to supply your needs. He can help you with those things. But, and it encompasses both, think about this, physical sustenance and spiritual nourishment. You know, a lot of times we don't think about that, do we? We don't think about provision. We think about provision being physical things, not our spiritual nourishment, the things that we really need as well. And the concept of provision is deeply rooted in the understanding of God as Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. The name is first revealed in Genesis chapter 22 and 14 when God provided the ram as a substitute for Isaac, right? God provided. And what did Abraham say when Isaac asked, okay, look, Dad, I see we got the wood, we got the fire, but where's the sacrifice at? And what did Abraham say? So the Lord will provide. And he did. God just wanted to make sure that Abraham was going to be obedient to what God had called him and asked him to do. And then, like I said, the Old Testament is full of instances of God's provision. And in the wilderness here that I just read, and let's read a little bit more here. Let's start at verse 6. It says, then Moses and Aaron said to all the children of Israel, at evening you shall know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your complaints against the Lord. You know, they thought they were complaining against Moses and Aaron, right? But who really heard the complaint? God says, okay, I understand. I hear you. And you're complaining against me. But at verse 8 says, also Moses said, this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints, which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron, Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And I shall know, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it was that quails came up at evening and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay all around the camp. And when the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And then Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered, and some more and some less. So when they measured it by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. And Moses said, let no one leave any of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they did not heed Moses, but some of them left part of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them, so they gathered it in every morning according. They gathered it every morning, every man according to his need, and when the sun became hot, it melted. God provided everything they needed, right? They wanted to complain because they come out of Egypt. And they felt like they were going to starve to death. But who commanded them to leave Egypt to begin with? God did. He opened the Red Sea. He took them out. He covered them with a cloud during the day and fire by night. Took care of them every which way. But them, like the man that we are, was always looking for an excuse and a place to complain, right? I guess there's a different, that's the difference between the wants and the needs, right? God provide all their needs, but necessarily, and sometimes if you look through Scripture, he did provide their wants too, didn't he? There is a Scripture that, and I didn't write it down, but where they complained about not having the meat, right? And God said, okay. And he sent quail, and they said they eat quail till they run out their nose. Sometimes he might give you what you need or want more than, but it may be a whole lot more than what you want. But I say that Scripture is just full of those. This daily sustenance was a direct demonstration of God's care and his faithfulness for the children of Israel, because he told them he's taking them to the promised land, right? He would provide for them. In 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 6, God provided Elijah, right? He sent the ravens to feed him. And other times he sent him to a widow, right, and provided for her and him as she fed him. God has provided for people on and on and on and on through Scripture. Another particular Scripture that a story I think about is Joseph, right? Joseph had a dream, and he lived, had some trouble there in the midst of all that, but God ended up being the provision through him for the whole children of Israel to make it through the famine, right? Because of Joseph's place and position. Just over and over and over again, God provided. I think I heard somebody this a few weeks ago talking about David. When David was running from Saul, when he went over to the Philistines. And they pretty much said that David was running outside of God's will at that moment when he left, because he wasn't submitting and following God's provision and what God had given him. Wondering about that, thinking about that, what could have happened if David would have stayed and lived in God's provision, what other great things could have happened for him. But just like I said, over and over in Scripture, we find these examples. You go to the New Testament, Jesus emphasizes God's provision on the Sermon on the Mount, right? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 25 is where I want to start. It says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. How many of you worry about your life? We all probably have at some point in time. Worried about something, worried about the bills, worried about things. You know, and I guess it's hard to comprehend this sometimes, you know, understanding, but God provides for us, right? Now, does that mean we're going to sit on our hands and say, well, God's going to provide and not do anything, and God's going to provide for you? I don't think so. You know, but there is a difference between God providing our wants and our needs, ain't it? But it says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on it. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Has anybody got any taller from worrying? They ain't helped us none, has it? Some people would be giants if they got any taller from worrying, wouldn't they? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But really, right here is going to be the key to it, to me, to the provision of God. Verse 33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, if we really want to see God's provision, we need to seek him. And we need to be focused upon him and on his righteousness. And at that point, our needs and our wants won't even be in the same category. Right? Because he's going to direct us in those things. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I think I remember some statistics that said like 95% of the things that we worry about never even come. Never even happened, George. 95% of the things that we worry about in life don't even come to fruition. But, you know, here in this particular scripture, Jesus told them, don't worry. You know, the Father, he knows the things that you need, but the key of it is seeking it. I found this. It says, financial fear is, there's five things here about it. Number one, it's unreasonable. Right? Financial fear is unreasonable. And it gives us verse 25. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. It's unreasonable to worry about it because God's in control. You know, we aren't to become distracted from the substantial issues of life over less important matters like what we eat or drink or wear. The second thing is unnatural. You know, that we're the only creatures that God created that worry. That's unnatural, right? How many of you see a dog worry? Sucker just lays there and takes it easy, don't he? Most of ours, anyway. It's unnatural. Number three is it's unhelpful. What does worry and fear do for you? Give you high blood pressure, give you a headache, mess your stomach up. Is it helpful at all? No. Just tires you up, messes you up on the insides. You know, it don't produce anything that's worthwhile, does it? Number four goes along with verse 30. He says it's unnecessary. You know, God provides for His own, and He promises to take care of us and all of our needs, right? I think more of our worry comes from our wants than it does from our needs. And number five is it's unbelieving. You know, we're acting as if God doesn't exist if we live in financial fear. I think a lot of times we live in financial fear because we didn't ask God about what we was getting to start with, right? We didn't go before the Lord. Or, you know, how many of us before, oh, Lord, I need that pickup truck. Would you give it to me, please? And then we go to the bank and just see if the bank will let us have it, whether or not we ask God before it. How many of you know they'll let you have more than you can pay back? You know, we need to ask God for our provision and not the bank. I mean, you know, I understand there are necessary evil in a lot of things, but we got to understand that if God wants us to have those things, that He'll take care of us and give it to us. And one of those other keys that I said there a while ago to start with is not only is it physical provision, but we got to look at the spiritual provision of it. What did God do spiritually for us? Just like Gary said a while ago, John 3:16, God sent His only begotten Son, right? To be our Lamb, our spotless, sinless Lamb. He sent that for us, for all of us. You know, beyond the physical needs, the Bible speaks of God's provision for spiritual needs. John 6:35, Jesus declares that I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in Him will never thirst. That's provision, right? We don't have to worry about that as long as we understand that He is the bread of life. You know, and that's what he presents Himself as, the ultimate provision for spiritual fulfillment and eternal life. You know, the Apostle Paul also speaks about spiritual provision in Philippians 4:19. He says, God shall supply all my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You know, and we got to understand those things. And another thing, and you're going to say, oh, Lord, here He goes on this. But let's go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. There ain't a verse 10, or chapter 10. But I want to start with verse 8, actually. You know, if we want to look to God for provision, we got to understand who He is and what He's got and what He's all about. Here in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, or start with verse 8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. And, you know, we're not about money here. It's not about that. It's about understanding where your provision comes from and what it's about. You know, if many of you have been here for a little while, you've heard and you've understand how God provided the provision that God made for us to be able to have this facility in this place and the things that He done. You know, I could sit here for half a day and tell you the stories about how God provided and what He did. We started this church with nothing, with zero, but God provided. He provided us a building. He provided us seats. He provided everything that we needed in the way that it's just unreal. He provides for us, you know, and just being a part of that and understanding and knowing that, I really shouldn't have any doubts or fears, period, to start with, but we all still fall back into those traps, right? We still get distracted. And that's, I guess it was Friday. I was on my way to Loretta, and the devil tried to distract me. And then in the middle of that, God answered. And then got the phone call and things. God just showed how much his provision is in, how his hand is in the provision of things. But let's read on here. Verse 9 says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." And he's talking about the children of Israel for how they've done and how they've not understood who he is and what he is. It says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there is not room enough to receive it." How many of you like to be blessed like that? I do. That's what I said, you know. You fill my tea glass up. I used to. I ain't drunk no tea this year. But how many of you know somebody come up here and fill it up and they'll leave it about that much from the top? I'm like, fill that sucker up if you're going to fill it up. Let's go. I ain't going to waste it. But, you know, and that's the way we want God to bless us on. But all he's asking us to do is what he's asked us to do. To be faithful to him and to understand and know who he is. You know, and he goes on to say that, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." How many of you like to see the devourer rebuked? "So that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." You know, that's the blessings that we need, ain't it? We need to understand those and walk in those principles. You know, that principle of tithes and offering and giving God and letting him provide for us. And it's our human responsibility to be a part of that. You know, while God promises provision, the Bible also teaches us that we have a responsibility. And part of that responsibility is called stewardship, right? We got to use what he gives us in a worthy manner. You know, we can't be frivolous in everything and expect God to continue to bless us. You know, I thought about Solomon. God asked him for more or less, said, "What do you want me to give you, Solomon?" And I'm paraphrasing. And Solomon, in wisdom, said, "Lord, I'd like to have wisdom." You know, he could have asked for riches. He could have asked for pretty much anything he wanted, is the way I read it. But he asked for wisdom, and God gave him wisdom. And in that wisdom, he had riches. He had everything. A lot of it caused him more trouble in the end. We can see what our wants and our needs, the difference in them, right? He wanted wisdom to be able to work with the people and to bless the people in the way they should, but it ended up costing him trouble. But we got to understand these things. God said, "Test me in this." I heard David Jeremiah preaching a message about this one time, and he said, he asked a couple guys, he said, "Okay," they was telling him that, "Well, we can't afford to tithe." He said, "All right," he said, "I'll tell you what, you try it for a month. You pay your tithes, and if you can't make your bills at the end of that month, then I'll pay them for you." And they were like, "Oh, okay, yeah, we'll do that." He said, "You mean you trust me, and you won't trust God?" Put that one in your pipe and smoke it for a few minutes and think about it. We got to understand that his provision is what matters, right? I can't make it on me. This body fails too quickly and too easily. You know, like I said, I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I ain't picking on nobody or nothing, not that I ever do, but it's understanding who God is and what he's done for us and what he's called. I kind of got a little bit happy in the truck on the way over there, but after that happened, we got to understand that he's for us and not against us. You know, he said, "Test me in this." We got to test him. We got to do what he's called us to do. But we do have a responsibility. Proverbs 6, verse 6 through 8 tells us to go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without a commander, without an overseer or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food at harvest. You know, this wisdom is really literature, and it encouraged diligence and planning as a part of God's design for provision. You know, He's called us to do these things. He's given us, again, the natural things to look at for spiritual too, didn't He? And then, as I'm going to kind of wrap this up, I'm going to give you a couple other scriptures. Can I really trust God to provide for me and to take care of me? Can we really do that? Let's see what Scripture says about that. Psalms 23, verse 1 through 6 says, the Lord is what? Who? Who's shepherd? Is He your shepherd today? The Lord is my shepherd. You know, if you can say that today, then you know we got provision, right? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. How many? All the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, if He's your shepherd, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Philippians 4 and 19 again, it says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Psalms 34 and 10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. And, you know, really the conclusion of all this is the theme of provision in the Bible reveals a God who is intimately involved in our lives, the lives of His people, right? He's caring for them, their physical and their spiritual needs. And through faith, obedience, and responsible stewardship, believers are invited to trust God for His unfailing provision. And I want to read one last scripture in here, Psalms chapter 50. Verse 7 through 23 is the musicians and Delaney and them coming back. Listen to this, y'all. It says, hear, O my people, and I will speak. Provision. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I will not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are continually before me. I will not take a bull from your house, nor goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and a cattle on a thousand hills. And as we said a lot of times, some old pastor said that time, and the taters under the hills. It all belongs to Him, right? And I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth? seeing you hate instruction and cast my words behind you. When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil. Your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forgot God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show salvation of God. He'll provide for us, right? It all belongs to him. We just got to understand what kind of stewards we are to deal with those things. You know, God is the sovereign owner of all creation. You know, and all of its resources is what the writer was trying to say here. He owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, not how many people owns 1,000 hills. God has that many resources, right? He owns it all. And it signifies that God is a self-sufficient, needing nothing from us, right? He don't need anything from you. He just needs you. That's all he needs, is you and your heart. That's all he's asking for, is you, is all of you. And that he's really our ultimate source of all the provision and all the wealth that we need. And if we'll seek him and we'll follow him and we'll chase after him, not after things, you know, we really get into idolatry when we start seeking all those things instead of seeking him. And that's not the place that I want to be. I don't know about you. But today, if he's not your provision, today would be a great day to allow him into your heart and be your provision. Now, trust me, when I say that he's our provision, don't mean that everything's going to be rosy and peachy from here on out when you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Right? We ain't going to tell you that lie. Life is still life. You still got to live every day of it. You still got to walk through the same circumstances that you've created before you accept him as your Lord and Savior. You're still going to have to live through the bad decisions that you've already made. You still got to make it through those things. And like Abraham and Sarah, if you make bad decisions after you accept him, you still got to live with those things and walk through those. But he tells us that I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's always there for us. Is he your provision today? If he's not, it would be a great day to accept him as your Lord and Savior. And if anybody needs prayer, we'd be glad to pray for you and pray with you.